neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 141. I am Shannon, and tonight's the original crew. We got Pete here.
Hey, Shannon.
And we both just got back from trips. Yours was longer, and yours was on the other coast.
Yeah,
right?
mine was a little further than yours.
Yes, and then I just got back, I guess, 2 days ago. This week has been a blur. We'll do a little trip report at the end. So if you want to listen to that, you can. And if you don't, you can listen to the news and then click off. But we'll give a little mini trip report at the end after we talk about our news stories. But before we get into our news stories today, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, DVC Resale Market. So if you are looking to purchase a resale contract, or maybe you want to sell your contract for whatever reason, definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. They can help you out with everything. They can answer your questions. And also, if you're like me, you like to do some window shopping, you could look at all the contracts that are available. So that's sometimes what I do too.
And the Rofer Monster has been pretty much closed down for a year and a half now. So prices have really come down from the high of last year. So now is actually a good time to be looking at contracts. I know some Old Key West got taken back because Disney had a big direct sale on Old Key West, but still there really hasn't been a lot of rights of first refusals from Disney. So now's the time to look.
And then that kind of leads us to our first news story, because we're talking about the new Polynesian.
Yeah, so I think that's another one that's been really popular. If you're looking for a cheap resale, Polynesian is not it, because it's very popular right now with the announcement of the tower. And the first news story is the official confirmation that the Polynesian Tower is going to be part of the condo association. A few weeks ago, Disney filed an amendment to the existing timeshare law to add the equivalent of 222 timeshare units to the existing condo association. So that basically means these new units are going to be part of the same membership as the rest of the Poly DVC. A recent article in Forbes magazine indicated the new building would have 268 rooms, which is different than this 222. But the discrepancy between the two is probably due to lock-offs. 46 of the rooms are two-bedroom lock-offs. Then both those numbers could be correct, that file for 222 and Forbes magazine says 268. So we'll see, but you know, that's the number. It's in the mid 200s. That's how many rooms there's going to be total. And there's still no indication as to when membership sales will be started, but this filing tells us that it's pretty close. That's it for this particular story, but our next story is also about the opening of the Island Tower. So any comments on this? I mean, no real surprise, right?
No, I think we all knew that's where it was going. The thing that I'm curious is, are they going to lower the points for the bungalows? Because that's always, you know, are they going to use that opportunity to lower the points for the bungalows? But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know on that one. I would kind of be surprised if they do, but it could happen. The second bit is probably more interesting information. If you go to the Disney Parks blog, they shared photos and about an 8-minute video about the rooms. So if you want to take a in-depth look at the rooms for this new resort, the big, I guess, news is the date that the resort tower will be opening, and that is going to be on December 17th, 2024. Another bit of interest is that the deluxe studios will, for the first time, include a small dishwasher. They said that's part of the, you know, the conservation initiative. So instead of using paper plates and plasticware, I find that interesting because the Disneyland Hotel, it wasn't paper plates and plasticware in the studio. It was plates and silverware and everything, but there was no dishwashers. And then I had some fun, and I don't know how far I should go into this, but I had some fun because the resort was opened up as well for booking on December 6th to everybody. So anyone can go on there and look. And a couple of pieces of information you could find out from that. First of all, there are three categories for rooms there. They they're using standard, preferred, and theme park view as the three categories that you can book. So I'm not sure what preferred that isn't a theme park view is, because as I think about it, you got one side of the building which faces away from the lake and the other side which faces towards the lake. Are there some rooms that face towards the lake, but you can't see the theme park? Maybe. I don't know. Deluxe studios for that opening day range from, believe this or not, $1,100 a night for a standard view to $1,500 a night for a theme park view.
Well, they know people are going to pay it. I mean, because you're going to have all these vloggers that are there and that are going to pay it. And why not?
And $826 per night for a duo studio. And one bedrooms were in the $1,600 to $2,000 a night range. So I went forward, as you just said, it's going to be the opening. You're right before Christmas on top of that. So that's going to probably add something to it. I didn't want to look at the Christmas prices because I knew they would be, you know, extra high. I actually think I looked January 20th to the 24th, which was midweek. And I wanted to go like after Martin Luther King Day, thinking that, okay, this is going to be like low end prices, right, for the resort. Duo studios were running from $490 to $612 a night, depending on the category. Deluxe studios, $650 to $927. And one bedrooms, $948 up to $1,100. And the two bedrooms were $1,600 a night. And the two bedroom penthouse, which is the closest they have to a grand villa there, because they do not have three bedroom grand villas in this resort. The two bedroom penthouses were $2,400 a night in January. I did also note that the studio prices were very comparable to the regular poly room prices. So that range of $650 to $927. If you looked at the old type of rooms, it was basically the same. They have the same three categories: standard, preferred, and theme park. So it does look like they're charging very similar prices to the existing poly. I know this is what the pricing at the poly is. It still blows my mind that people pay those prices for a hotel room at Disney. So it just makes me thankful I'm DVC.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. We had, I think, an 8-night trip one time or a 9-night trip at the poly. And there's no way we would have been able to do that without DVC. It was, you know, it was a great trip too. You know, no, we haven't done it since.
It's crazy to me that people drop $10,000 for just for the hotel for a week. I'm very glad to be a DVC member and be spending much, much less than what the cash rooms are. Not part of this story is when it's going to be available for people to book. My guess is it won't until after it goes on sale. I saw some people online complaining, why are they putting these up for cash before the members get a chance at them, blah, blah, blah. Well, they've done this for every single resort in recent years, that they put the rooms up for cash first because they only declare a certain portion of the resort to DVC, might be 20% of the rooms or something like that. So those rooms are being held back right now. So if you book whatever rooms they're making available to book for cash, they're holding back 20-30% for when they open it up to members. Don't worry that all the rooms are going to be gone. I'd said right from the beginning, I thought June, July, we're going to see this go on sale. So I still think it's going to be not too far away. I think, I mean, probably not June at this point. They would have announced it by now, but I think we could still see sales start in July for current members.
Any word on the sales for the cabins? Have they increased or are they pretty stagnant still?
No, I didn't put anything about, they had an article on April sales and the cabins were just as bad as they were in March. Yeah. In fact, a little bit worse. The cabins are not selling at all. I'm sure Disney never thought they'd sell like hotcakes or anything like that, but I doubt they thought they would be doing like 10 contracts a month or something like that. And that's only going to go down.
Once you open up Poly, no one's going to be buying them. I mean, and I think what they counted on, like I said before, is they counted on the people that love the cabins. But for the people that love, those are not DVC people or probably that would be even considered DVC. And the issue there is, they didn't add anything. Like there's no pool near there. Like there's a small pool, but it's just a regular, I mean, they had just done redone a pool and just done a really cool, good pool that was just for the cabins.
Yeah.
Then there would be some incentive, but the pool that's by the cabins is just like, you know, a quiet pool. That's what it is. Yeah. There's a lot of things there, but I'll be staying there in 6 weeks. I'll be able to report back on what I think of them. We know we like the cabin, but we also have a car. So that's going to be a difference too.
Yep.
So, okay. For well, that's sure. going to be interesting. Our next story, and this is something I actually got to see on Tuesday, that the Epcot Lounge has moved to its temporary location for the summer. The Epcot DVC Lounge and the Imagination Pavilion will be closing for 6 weeks from June 2nd to July 14th. During that time, a temporary lounge will be open in the Odyssey Pavilion, which is typically used during the Food and Wine Festival. Disney is not indicating what, if any, changes will be made to the lounge during the closure, but the limited time indicates it will not be anything major. So I actually did see this. I was there on June 4th. We always walk through the Odyssey, and it was closed by the time we were there. I think I can post it in the show notes, but if anything, I will post it in our DVC community group. If you're on Facebook and you're in the community group, you can look for it. I'll post it after we're done recording here. But the hours are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. I think those are the same hours as it was before, but I'm not sure. Yep. And yep. It's on the end of, so when you're walking in from Test Track, it's on that side. So okay. it's pretty small. It's much smaller than, like, it's not just that whole Odyssey area. It's much smaller. So it's pretty small. You know, it's not closed off, so it's not private. But the good thing is that it is close to a bathroom. So, because there's a bathroom right there. That's one of the big problems with the one upstairs at the Imagination Pavilion is there is no bathroom. It looks like a temporary location. So I didn't get to see anything, you know, what kind of snacks or anything they had there. But it's just, at least they didn't just close it and there is a temporary location.
So I didn't realize. I thought they would just be like, it's the Odyssey Pavilion. Just come in and sit down. So part of it is still open to the public and part of it is... Okay.
Yeah, I would say about a third is the DVC lounge and then 2/3 is still open to the public. And it's kind of separated by a big temporary wall. It's air conditioned, so that was good. It was really hot that day. But we had just come from the AP lounge, which is actually open till 8 p.m. I think that one's open from 10 to 8. And we had just come from that one. And that one is really nice. So if you are an AP and you haven't and you're going and you're in the by the Morocco Pavilion, definitely take some time to go over there. It's really nice. We had just gotten to the park, but well, one, I hadn't fed my son yet. So I knew they'd have some snacks. So he had some Chex Mix before I was able to feed him dinner. They do have the genie. So we were able to see the genie and there was never really a line. I think there was one person that we waited. There was never a line to take the pictures and it is a photo pass photo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They had water and mint tea. So it was just a really nice space. The bathroom is outside there, but it's right outside the restaurant because it's the old Marrakesh restaurant. But that was really nice. So it was just a really nice little lounge. And again, it's really hot. And now it's all the way. I'd never eaten at the Marrakesh restaurant, so I'd never been there before. And it's all the way in the back. That. Yeah, it was really nice. And they gave little Mickey Mouse buttons, just little tiny buttons. And it was a really nice little place. The picture with the genie, that was a character we had never seen before. I posted that on my Instagram and it was great interaction too, because there's not much of a line. My son had a great interaction. He showed him the lamp and told my son to rub it and make 3 wishes. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, the DVC lounge is not that good. So the good thing is that for us, the DVC lounge will be open by before our trip because we get there on July 21st.
I did see somewhere that it was for doing some work on the elevator. I don't know if that's true or not, but I did see that somewhere. That would make sense about 6 weeks to do some maintenance. And I mean, since the elevator is right in the middle of the stairs, they might have had to close the stairs to work on.
Yeah, because I could imagine. Yeah, that was just it would be probably couldn't do much. And then our last story is that Tiana's Bayou Adventure previews are scheduled. And while we announced in the last episode the opening date of June 28th, we did not yet have the dates for previews. The days for signing up have come and gone, but DVC previews are taking place on Wednesday, June 12th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. and then Wednesday, June 19th from 9 a.m. to noon. And then annual pass holders can still get onto the ride thanks to a virtual queue, which will have a sign up at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. These dates are June 13th, 14th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 20th. There's a good chance that after the 20th, the ride will continue with soft openings available to all guests based on previous operational policies. here's my thoughts on here. So first of all, for the DVC previews, I do have some thoughts. The DVC previews, you had to be staying already booked, staying on site on your points. So even if you were booked with a cash reservation, or you were using, like, if you're someone like me who has some resale points and some direct points, you have to be staying on your points. So that's the one thing. So I was already eliminated from the DVC previews, which is fine, because I think if you're staying on DVC and you have your planned vacation and happens, and you should get first dibs. There's only 6 hours, right? It's only 6 hours. The annual pass holders. Now, I was planning this trip with my son. We had to get there before the 16th. So I even considered going the 13th or 14th and taking him and then trying to work on it with, coordinate it with Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Problem is, you're not guaranteed. So if you are like us, where you're 3 hours away, you may not get a virtual queue. So you could plan a trip. So we kind of threw in the towel. Again, it's fine. That's how they're choosing to do it. Given what's been happening in the last week with the cast members previews, them waiting for 3 hours in the queue waiting and then being told to leave, the ride shutting down, I'm kind of glad we're not making a trip for that, because that would have been a big disappointment. We'll just wait to our trip next month. A little disappointment with how the way they did the annual pass holders. What do you think?
I'm not going to be down there, so I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I have seen online that it's had a lot of breakdown issues, which seems a little surprising, because I would have thought it's the same ride mechanism that's been there for 20 some years, but they must have changed something, right?
My understanding is they upgraded some stuff, and Imagineering told park management, this is what is going around that I've watched other people that have information. I do not have any contacts. Nobody tells me anything. I do kind of follow it. And that the Imagineering was saying they needed another month to get it fully operational, to work out the kinks. And parks wanted it open before the July 4th holiday. Test Track is going down. Rock and Roller Coaster is down. And they needed it up before the July 4th holiday. And they really wanted it up by June 19th. They didn't. And so they just haven't been able to work out the kinks yet. And there is some like new sensory issues or sensors that are, I guess, definitely over my head, but they're definitely opening it early than they are ready to. So, you know, hopefully the kinks will be worked out by the time we go. It looks really, I don't really understand. I mean, look, I have watched the previews. My son has watched the POVs as well. It looks really pretty. I think it looks, I like the fact that it looks really colorful. I don't understand the plot. And that seems to be a concern with people, that there really is. I think they, including the villain. Yeah, not including the villain, I think was a lost opportunity. I'll reserve judgment until we get there. My biggest complaint about it is they got rid of the playground. They made that stroller parking. And I thought that was... Yeah. That was Disney parks not knowing their clientele, because you made it stroller parking for a ride that's 40 inches, you know, 40 inches. Now, you know, kids, like, look, my son, until recently, we brought a stroller because when we left the parks late, we didn't want to have to carry him. So he was 7 and, you know, still with the stroller, but not being pushed around. Yeah. I mean, that playground was always full. Full, because you have toddlers that can't ride it and they're, you know, so the other parents riding the ride with the kids that can, and now you've got nothing for them to do over there. And it doesn't seem like, I thought, well, maybe they put something else, but they just made it stroller parking. So I thought that was poor judgment in my opinion. So again, we'll see. It doesn't affect me personally, but having been a parent that of a child that loved that playground and we used it, that was a real big disappointment.
Yeah, I have not watched any ride through videos or anything like that. I'm kind of a bit of a purist when it comes to rides. Like, you can't help but have seen like pictures and things like that. I mean, they're just out there. But I want to go on the ride and not know. Because like when we were in California, we did the only new ride. It's been 5 years since we've been out there. The only new ride was, well, Mickey's and Minnie's was new, I guess, but we'd ridden that before in Florida. But for out there was the Spider-Man Web Slingers, and like my wife and daughter were like, well, what is it? What is this? What do you do? How does it work? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I said, I know it's kind of like Toy Story Mania, and I know that you like point your hands and you like shoot like you're Spider-Man, and that's all I know. Nighttime shows or parades or whatever, that's different. I don't mind looking at those, but like the ride, I kind of like the idea of, I did the same thing with Tron. I was like, I don't want to see ride throughs. I want to go and experience it for the first time. And even though it's going to be like a year and a half before I ride it, I don't know. I'm weird that way. I don't know too much about the actual like story or anything like that. I mean, obviously I know the track pretty well. I've probably ridden it 100 times, but the story itself, I can't comment on.
Yeah, I'm excited. I wasn't attached to Splash Mountain. I think Tiana needed her own ride. I would have preferred her getting her own like dedicated ride, because I will say you can definitely tell this is an overlay or whatever you call it. It's, you could definitely tell. I've talked about this before with representation and seeing little girls on the cruises meeting Tiana. I see it, right? You know, I definitely think she needed her own ride. So I was fine with that. I'm just really upset about the playground, just because, and when we go in July, my brother, they have
my daughter loved that playground when she was little. It was just a tiny thing, but like she would spend half an hour there, you know?
Oh, well, I remember there was one, I think it was the Christmas party in 2019, like right before everything shut down. My son started playing there, and I remember telling my husband, "Oh, I'm glad we bought these special event tickets and spent hundreds of dollars for these special event tickets so he could play on a playground." Because he would not get off of it, and he would not get off of it, because we went in the playground. I think we went over there just so that we could go to the bathroom, and then we couldn't get him off the playground. But yeah, like we're going with my brother, and he has almost 2-year-old, and they would need it. It was just to me that was poor planning. We'll see if they add anything back. Maybe they're going to plan on adding it back. It doesn't look like it, but that's it. I guess that's it for our stories. I know you and I were chatting before that the preview cruise for the Lookout Key in the Bahamas for Disney Cruise Line is there this weekend. So we're recording this on Friday, June 7th.
Literally this morning, we're the first people going to it, I think, from the first ship anyways.
Yeah, so it looks really cool. Yeah. There's a really, I think the measurement, somebody said it was 0.58 miles. So it's over a half a mile walk, and you have to walk it unless you...
From the ship, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's transportation for those that can't walk it, but for the most part, you have to walk it. It's interesting to see all the people not happy about that. And it's a long walk, and it's a walk in the pure sun, because there's no shade.
Well, I know they have running tracks on cruises, but in general, cruisers are not like the athletes, right? people that want to be on the cruises want to just be like laying on their lounge chair and...
Well, and I talk about it. I have a whole series on my channel, my YouTube channel, about best and worst cruise staterooms. It's probably my most popular series. And one of the things I say is that I've learned that we really like being near the elevator, especially on larger ships. Yeah. And somebody commented like, oh, you know, you could tell this late girl's so lazy because she just keeps talking about being near the elevator. And like, yeah, I'm on vacation. I want to be lazy. I do. I'm totally lazy on vacation.
And when I'm at the DVC hotels, one of my main focuses when I get a room is put me near the center of the resort, near the elevator. I walk all day in the parks. We were just in California, and it wasn't just Disneyland. It was the San Diego Zoo and everything. We walked 53 miles while we were out there, right? 53 miles. I do not need to add several miles of that walking in my hotel room.
Exactly. Oh, totally. Totally.
You know, that's enough walking. So same thing. Yeah. I mean, a cruise is different. You're not doing that. But I can see people complaining about that you get off the ship and you have to walk a half a mile to the tram to take you to the actual beach or whatever. Yeah, I can see people complaining about that. I'm sure that'll be a common comment. But it did look very nice from what I saw.
Yeah, no, and I think if you're going to have if there's going to be cruises that visit both Castaway and Lookout, that's going to be a really popular sailing. But now the reason for the pier, the reason for the long pier is due to the ecosystem. So that was, they had to do that. They didn't really have a choice. And my understanding is that they can't use a tram on that pier because of the ecosystem. So they would have to use an electric vehicle, and there's only so much they can do. So.
Here's what you may eventually see is shade it.
Yes, that's what they need. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I can walk half a mile. It's not really a problem. But especially at the end of the day, yep. You've been doing all these beach activities, swimming, and, you know, I'm sure there's a water park and all these different things, and you're tired. And now it's 3 or 4 o'clock, the heat of the sun, and you got to walk that half mile. I can see a lot of miserable walks coming.
Well, coming, and that's back to the ship. That's what happened at Coco Key. We were one of the first guests that got to go to Coco Key back in 2019, and they did end up adding shade. So that was one of the things they did, because that was, and that's a much smaller pier. But you did mention, so that's the end of our news story. So here we're going to kind of talk about our trip reports a little bit. And so feel free to stay on. And if you don't, thank you so much for listening. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your Disneyland trip?
Sure. Yeah. Because I did want to comment, because I did get to stay at the Disneyland Villas. So it was my first DVC stay out there. Well, I shouldn't say that. We've stayed at the Grand Californian twice, I think, with DVC. Once in a studio and once in a one bedroom. This was our first stay ever at the Disneyland Hotel. I really like that hotel so much. I like that hotel a lot better than the Grand Cal. I mean, Grand Cal's got a classic look. You can't beat the location. It's, you know, you walk right into California Adventure from it, and it's really close to Disneyland as well, versus the Disneyland Hotel is at the end of downtown Disney. So you have to walk all the way through downtown Disney, and it's probably not half a mile.
Yeah.
Like it is on the pier, but it's definitely maybe like 0.3 of a mile. I would estimate, for those familiar with Florida, it's probably pretty similar to walking from Bay Lake Tower to Magic Kingdom. It's about that same type of walk to get to the entrance to the two parks, which is still not bad. But when everything's so close together, it feels a little weird. But I really love the rooms are beautiful. We actually stayed in one of the Tiana studios, and I love the decor. The room was in really good shape still. I mean, you would hope in a year it would still be, but we didn't really see any problems with the room at all. It looked brand new. I love the bright colors, the design aspects, everything like that. We did get a tour of a one bedroom, which was also gorgeous. The one bedroom had a balcony. I don't know if they all do, but it's interesting. So, I think a lot of the duos actually have balconies, believe it or not, but none of the studios do. When we were there, Gina was also staying, and they actually had one of the garden view rooms, which is the studios that are right at the pool level. And they have a patio, but they're very similar looking. So we went in there. That one was Sleeping Beauty themed. The room itself was pretty much identical. It just had a patio area that went right out at the pool. Love the amenities there. They have a bar restaurant. I mean, it's open air. So if you're going there after dark, you definitely want to put a sweater on. They had some heat lamps and stuff, but it was right there by the pool. The food was really good. You're right near Trader Sam's as well, is right there. So there's a couple different options for food. And I love how, even though it's a fairly big resort, the Disneyland Resort is kind of compact, because it's like the three towers plus now the new tower. And it's not a huge area for the resort, so it's very easy to walk around. The Grand Cal is just the opposite. It's a very spread out resort. I really like the resort a lot. I definitely would recommend, you know, checking it out. Just understand that you're going to have a little bit longer of a walk. Some of the hotels on Harbor Boulevard are going to give you a closer walk to the main entrance than this does. But otherwise, I said, well worth it. I'm glad we bought there. Really enjoyed it. Two other things I wanted to mention real quick. We also got to check out the DVC lounge out there. Lovely, lovely lounge. If there's any negative to it, is that there's no windows. So when you're in the lounge, it's kind of dark, but there is an exit that goes out onto the balcony it's on the second floor of what was originally Carousel of Progress, and then it was Star Wars Launch Bay, and now it's kind of nothing on the first floor. They actually have a Darth Vader meet and greet on the first floor for Disney Visa holders, but that's about it. They do some training, but you go up to the second floor, and it's a very large space, a lot more seating than the Florida one. There's bathrooms right inside, which is really nice. They also let you bring your food in. So if you are in Tomorrowland, you want to eat lunch, you can bring it in there, and you can get your drinks in there. So you don't have to buy drinks with your lunch, which is kind of a almost a neat perk, right? That you're saving $4 or $5 a person on your drinks when you're eating lunch. I think they win for lounge. But where they don't win is we were there for the second night of Fantasmic, and thumbs down for California Fantasmic. Man, there's so little going on with it now. Like, it's still cool. They do the Peter Pan on the pirate ship. They brought, for a while it was Jack Sparrow, and now it's the pirate ship. That part is neat when the pirate ship comes and it's Peter Pan and Captain Hook and everything. But like, there's almost nothing actually happening on the stage during the show. And then you know, it went down for a year because the dragon caught fire. You'd think that they'd replace it with something. And it's what they replaced it with is just the B mode, same B mode as in Florida, which is there's Maleficent and she goes up into the air and then that's it. She fights Mickey from up in the air. Mm-hmm. And the Florida Fantasmic, with the improvements they've made there, is a better show.
I would say it's also in, it's like in B mode, or like somebody said, it's in C mode right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're still going to fix some more things, but it doesn't feel like a good version of the show. And especially that you gotta get there and you gotta get a spot to sit. And then, you know, we got there fairly early and we were sitting, and like an hour and 15 minutes before the show, they said, everybody's got to stand up. And they made us stand for an hour and 15 minutes before the show.
Wow.
Which, like, kids and strollers and whatever they were allowing, but for the most part, they made everybody stand up because they wanted to squish everybody in. And as I, you know, at the end of the day, you want to stand for, because then with the show, an hour and 45 minutes, I'm standing there. My feet were killing me.
Yeah, no, that's so awful.
I was not a fan of, quite honestly, if they don't make changes there to that, I would not go back to Fantasmic there. I would just do it in Florida. We did World of Color, and World of Color was amazing as ever. Love World of Color. Amazing show. Well worth seeing. If you go to Florida and you do Fantasmic in Florida, I don't think I would bother if I was out in California. So that's my trip report.
We've been to Disneyland twice, and both times World of Color wasn't showing. So we've yet to see it. I had mentioned that I was going to go to do a surprise trip for my son to ride Test Track. We did that. I mentioned that we were there earlier this week. It was a whirlwind. I think it was 34 hours from when we left my house to when we got back to my house. And we stayed at All Star Music's, which was nice. But yeah, we did get to ride Test Track. And you can tell they have just like, they know it's closing.
Let it go.
They have half the car design things don't work. They have three in the area where, I guess, the after queue, after the ride area that you can build. And that's sometimes where we'll go there and build it. And like only one of them was working. So you had to wait for that one. And then, but in the ride, there, none of them are reading. Like before it was like, I know the last one would read and then maybe a one or two, none of them read. None of them read. So like if you build your car, you don't get any feedback like there. And I had heard that before. Someone had told me that. But yeah, I mean, it was great. My son was very surprised. I was surprised that I was able to pull off the surprise because I'm very bad at keeping secrets, and especially surprises. But I was able to surprise him. We had a great time. And then we went to Hollywood Studios the next day. And that was the day they were having some conference. I think it was the SAP conference, Rune 5. If you saw pictures, they had built this huge stage in front of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That was for this conference. Maroon 5 was performing. So I got there and we didn't know because I had registered and I didn't know it was closing. I didn't check the times because it really didn't affect us, but there was no notification like the park is closing early that day. So when we walked in, it said it was closing at 5:30, and I had gotten Genie Plus. Man, everything, I mean, Rise of the Resistance was a 10-minute wait. We got to see Phineas and Ferb. So if you heard about my Jollywood Night story, we just basically waited 45 minutes in line to not see Phineas and Ferb. And my son was very, very sad. They had like an impromptu dance party. My son got to dance with them and we got some great pictures. And we ended up seeing like 10 characters. We saw the Mandalorian and Grogu. Just, it was amazing. We had planned to go there to ride two or three rides to get back on the road. We ended up leaving at 5 o'clock, but it was such a unique day I had gotten Genie Plus, but really didn't need it. But then Genie Plus was amazing because I was literally getting tower. I remember at one point it was 314 and I got a 315 lightning lane for Tower of Terror.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how it was all day. The only thing that sold out was Slinky Dog, which we had gotten. I had gotten at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
But it was, you don't get days like that in a park. So when you realize and you're in the park and you're like, yeah, yeah, I'm taking advantage of this. I don't care if I'm tired.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it was a great day. It was, and the best thing about it, you know, being a mom who has a son who always wants to ride with dad, I told him, I was like, yeah, the good thing about this trip is you have to ride with me. You don't have dad. So it was a really special time, you know,
See, we have kind of an alternate rule that, you know, even our daughter's older, it's like, yeah, you gotta ride with mom once and you gotta ride with dad once.
Oh, we do that too, but he still would choose if he could choose dad.
Yeah.
It was great. It was the only things we didn't ride was Toy Story Mania and Swirling Saucers. And we could have if we wanted to, but we're gonna be there next month. But man, what an amazing day. And it was really great. That was an unexpected surprise. I wouldn't count on that often, but I will say, even at Epcot, the lines for Lightning Lane are significantly smaller. I think, and that's what I've been hearing, is that the lines have improved since the Dash changes have gone into effect. I did see an improvement. So we'll definitely be able to report on that in July when we go, but they were definitely much, much more manageable. So it was a great little mini trip. So looking forward to going back in July.
I have no trips in my DVC.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like amazing. I mean, I am doing a my DVC points thing in October out in Disneyland for a weekend for Oogie Boogie Bash. Other than that, yeah, nothing booked, which I can't even tell you the last time I've had nothing booked.
Yeah. After this trip, we don't have anything. We're probably going to do the Halloween party just because Ryder still likes them. And you know, he's coming to the age where at one point he's not going to want to do it, or at least not to want to do it with us.
Right.
So we'll take advantage of that as long as he wants to go. But other than that, we really don't have, it might not be until next summer.
Jollywood Nights is coming back though.
That's right. Jollywood Nights. There is reports that Jollywood Nights is coming back. Yeah, we might do that too. But as far as like long trip,
I don't think that would be high on my list, to be honest, after last time.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I probably won't be going. If I go, it won't be the first one.
No. I don't think I would go again if it was only the 4 hours.
Yeah.
I think that would be, because like, to me, it was just too short.
Yeah.
They would need to bring it up to the same length as the Mickey's.
And I think that
5 hour. Yeah.
There, I heard, I never got a survey. They probably didn't want my opinion. But I did hear that was one of the questions. We'll see what happens with that. They did improve it, though. I mean, we went the first night and they did improve it later on in the time frame. I think that's it for our this episode. A little longer because we did do a little mini trip report, but we did warn you.
Thanks to anyone that stayed and listened because, you know.
Yeah, we can ramble.
I
know I can. Before we go sign off, we want to thank our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial, for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. So with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
MyDVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. MyDVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.